Hallelujah. Thank you, Mindy, for your testimony and receiving of the offering. You know, everybody has something to give. I mean, you find a penny on the ground. You know, God always supplies the seed for the sower. That, see, we've got to come from the arena of being takers and become givers. Because when there's givers, He gives. So many times we've been in position just to receive, but not give. But when He provides the seed, it's time to give. And you can't have a harvest without sowing. So praise God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And we will have a good time in it. Amen? And God is faithful to complete what He started. That's all He's asking us to do is cooperate. And in cooperation, tithing is a part of cooperation. Offering is a part of cooperation. Giving is a part of cooperation. Would you turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 12? Revelation 12. Hallelujah. Revelation 12. Is everybody there? In verse 7. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. Would you read it with me? And war broke out in heaven. Hello, hold on a second. War broke out in heaven. Does everybody know that war broke out in heaven? So what's going on in the heavenlies? Did the war stop? No. No, the war didn't stop yet. The war is still going on. Is everybody with me? It says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives who? The whole world. He was cast to where? The earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Hello, does anybody not understand this? So where are Satan and his angels? In the earth and in the realm of the earth, the atmosphere. Is everybody with me? And is there a war going on? Amen. Has it stopped yet? No. No, it hasn't. And what's this war over? It's over mankind, isn't it? It's over mankind. And also, Satan's trying to destroy everything because he actually believes if he can destroy the earth and its atmosphere, he can escape into the universe because he's been sentenced here. But of course, you know, that's just plain stupid. But he's got his own belief system, doesn't he? And verse 10. And then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Who would that be? Jesus. And who would be the woman? It would be associated with Israel and, of course, Mary. But the woman was given two wings of an eagle, a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time, times and a half time, from the presence of the serpent. Now, of course, I truly believe that's associated with also known as the rapture. And I believe that the two wings of the eagle is Moses and Elijah. But anyways, we'll go a little further. And so the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. And he went to make war with the rest of her what? And who are her offsprings? We are. So everybody got it. Went to war to make with the rest of the offsprings who what? Keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So I want you to grab hold of something very important, because that war still continues. And it continues against the offsprings of Jesus Christ. Those who are born again, they're born again. And if you're born again in Christ Jesus, then you understand, or and if you don't understand, let it be known to you today that the powers of darkness are out to kill you. They're out to steal, kill, and destroy you. It says they are after you. Why? Because you are a danger to their kingdom. Does everybody got it? Because you're a danger to their kingdom. So please grab hold of this today, because there must be a reality of war. And that's today's teaching, reality of war. There is a war going on, and it's continuous. And the only time that this war is going to end is when the Prince of Peace returns, has the final war, and then there'll be peace. Other than that, there is a war going on. Is everybody with me? Go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19 and verse 11. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it was called what? Faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and what? He makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven clothed in fine linen. Who's that? Who's the armies in heaven? Me and you. Clothes in fine linen. That's me and you. White and clean, followed him on a white horse. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So understand that there is a war going on. Of course, we know that the end result is there will be a righteous war that will be won by righteousness, the King of Righteousness. So please grab hold today that there's got to be a reality of a war. So many people are caught up. Now let me share something with you. God's love is great, isn't it? The Bible says he so loved the world that he gave his what? Only begotten Son. Okay, so if Jesus loves us so much that he gave of his life for me and you, didn't he? So God is love, isn't there? And God's love, in God's love, there's also God's judgment. Has everybody got it? He releases judgment because of his love. And what you're seeing going on in the world right now is God releasing judgments because of his love and because he's trying to get man's attention, isn't he? So we must come to a reality of a war. A war. There is a war going on. And in this war, there is a battle and there is a fight. And you have been called to battle. That is your calling. You have been called to battle. You have a purpose to destroy Satan's kingdom. And your destiny is to utilize the talents that God has given you to infiltrate the world system. Has everybody got it? Exodus 15, reality of war. Exodus 15. Exodus 15 and verse 1. Let's read this together. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang the song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, for he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of what? The Lord is a man of what?
War.
The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also were drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You set forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. You might call that a tsunami. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy, I said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them, they sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You, in your mercy, have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. Are you redeemed? You guided them in your strength to your what? To your holy habitation. The Lord is a man of war. Again, there must be a reality of war. And where there is war, there's conflict, isn't there? Amen. A war is conflict. So there's a conflict going on globally. There is war in every country. There is war in every nation. There is war in every city. And there's war in every person. And in this war, the war is with, there's war within me and you, within us. There's a war going on. There's a war going on around in us and around us, isn't there? The earth has been established as a place of battle. There are inherited wars. There are accidental wars. There's wars of revenge. There's wars of jealousy. There's wars of religious wars. There's wars where they just want to conquer. They're conquering wars to take over and take spoil. There's war of fear. There's a war of pride. There's the unseen war and the seen war. There's a war of pestilence, sickness, and disease. There's a war of poverty. There's a war of lust. There's a war of the tongue. There's a war of life and death. There's a war of evil and righteousness. There's a war of hatred and a war of love. And the end results of all wars are casualties. And there are casualties of war. There's a war of pain. There's a war of suffering. There's a war of sorrow. There's a war of self. There's a war of submission, and there's a war of rebellion. There is a constant war and conflicts. And there must be a reality that there's a war going on at every moment in this realm and in the unseen realm. Amen? Turn to James 4. James chapter 4. I was going to ask if you wanted me to repeat that, but I wasn't going to. You'll have to get the tape, CD. Hallelujah. James chapter 4. Verse 1. Let's read it. And where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war and you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures or lusts. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. How many of y'all want to be an enemy of God? I didn't think so. See, but when you become a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. It's not that God's your enemy, you're his. Because he can't trust you. Because you've put the world before him. Do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee from you. So we see that there's wars in the area of desire. And that these desires come from somewhere, don't they? See, when there is conflict, people, I mean, there isn't one person I know that's not going through something. Everybody's going through something. And of course, if you're not going through something, I got something to give you to go through. But in this, we got to understand that there's a war going on, right? Yes, we know that God loves. He loves us unconditionally. But he wants us to know that there's a war going on. We cannot be ignorant of this war. We must be prepared for war. You have been called to battle. Yes, we love God. That's why we battle. We love his people. That's why we battle. If he didn't love us, would he be battling on our behalf? No. There must be a reality of a war. And if you're not in the battle, you will become a casualty. So many people come into the place of compromise, complacency, laziness, and pride. And it moves them out of the battle. And by being moved out of the battle, you become a casualty. And the Bible tells us that the enemy is seeking whom he can devour. I cannot come and tell you about God's love without telling you about God's judgment. And is there a judgment going on right now? Yes, you can look all over the world. There's judgments going on. They're not the final judgments. It is not the wrath of God. These are judgments. Judgments come before wrath. So that people can awaken and get things right so they're not caught up in the wrath. Everybody okay? Anybody okay? He's going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Reality of war. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Now I want you to understand that the originator of war was Lucifer. Lucifer picked a fight with God. Are you listening? And the Lord kicked him out of the throne room. Lucifer was God's right-hand man. He was clothed in beauty with wisdom. He was the praise and worship leader of the universe. And when he rebelled against God, Lucifer was in charge of the third of the angels. And the Lord kicked Lucifer out of his throne room and cast him to the earth. In his atmosphere, and his angels went with him. And now there's been a battle ever since. In verse 11, behold, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from what? Fleshly lust, which war, everyone say war, against the soul. So there's a conflict, there's a war in the soul, isn't there? Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in a day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do what? Good. So we see here that there's a war in the soul also and in the flesh. But it started here also because it says your desire. So we know that there's desires are a beginning. A desire is a want. It is something where people fight for their desires. Instead of surrendering their desires, they fight for them. If you surrender your desire, you'll let God do the war. When you want to fight, when you want something, then you're going to fight for your desire. Now, in your true relationship with the Lord, He's going to put His desires in you, isn't He? So there's something we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful what we associate with in people, places, and things. Because what's going to happen is you're going to pick up their desire. Are you listening? Go to 1 Corinthians 15. And the only way you're going to escape that is by being right with God, staying in His presence. Because only in the presence of the King of Glory and the Prince of Peace can you maintain peace during a war. In 1 Corinthians 15. So when conflict comes, all right, and the enemy is trying to promote a desire in you, he's trying you to fight for the desire. You must run to the throne, not the phone. Because what you have to do is you got to get into the presence of the King of Glory and the Prince of Peace so that the desire doesn't overtake you. Because in the battle, there's peace. When there is peace, you can see clearly. You can hear clearly. Then what you're going to do is you surrender whatever it is to the Lord in that place and you accept His peace. Now He gives you counsel, correction, and direction. Then you submit to His authority. Has everybody got it? And when you submit to His authority, He releases authority to you to battle. And you have overcome. But without submission to His authority, no authority is released to you. And then what you do is you try to battle in the flesh and it becomes frustrating. It becomes tiresome. And you begin to blame everybody else and everything else for what you're going through. Because it's nothing but stinky flesh. And of course you can't fight something spiritual in the flesh. You can never defeat it. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Everybody there? Let's read it together. Do not be what? Don't be deceived. Well, isn't Satan's greatest weapon deception? Amen. Don't be deceived. Don't agree with what the voice of the stranger tells you. Don't hang around with those who are not walking correctly. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts what? Good habits. And how's evil company going to corrupt good habits? Because evil company carries the presence of evil. Hello. And those presence of evil, those are serpents in that individual that will bite you. They are vipers. They will lay corruptible seeds in you. Those are eggs. We'll talk about this in a second. That's why he says, do not hang around with evil company because it will corrupt good habits. So are there certain programs on TV that's evil company? Is there certain music that's evil company? Are there certain people? Certain places? Hello? That's why he says, come out from among them and be separate and don't touch or agree with those things. Why? Because there's a battle. Let me tell you, when people begin to do those things, they ignore the battle. They're trying to fulfill a desire instead of battle. They're trying to fulfill their purpose instead of the purpose of the Lord. Is everybody okay? Let's go somewhere. Proverbs 23. Evil company corrupts good habits. It's called evil associations, right? Evil associations. You know, the Bible says love everybody, right? Man, you should love everybody. But you're supposed to hate evil, aren't you? Listen, I love everybody, but I don't like everybody. I love them, but I don't like them. And the only reason I might not like them is because of what they're doing. I don't like what they're doing. So I'm not going to associate with them. But it doesn't mean I don't love them. I pray for them and hope that they'll get their straightened up. I hope that they come to their senses. I hope that they're able to see and not be deceived. But you can't force something on anybody. That's all you can do is pray for them. You can correct them, share with them. But you know, you can't counsel a demon. A demon will not listen to your counsel. The only thing you can do with a demon is remove it. Do you ever try to speak to somebody that's prideful? Amen? Man, they make every excuse possible. They blame everybody else. They do this, they do that. Because you can't counsel a spirit of pride. You can't count. Listen, you try to counsel an addict, sometimes they're not willing to listen until they lose everything. I was one of them. I mean, I'm telling you, people, my family, people tried to rescue me when I was out there. It wasn't to where I couldn't climb that last wall. I couldn't get out. I was in bondage. And then I finally called on the Lord. And then he rescued me. But after the rescue, he put me in a place to teach me how to battle. And I began to learn to battle. You know, people get healed and they don't battle and they get sick again. People who are addicts stop battling and they become an addict again. There is a battle going on. The Word tells us it's not over with. There must be a reality that there's a battle and you must be in the battle or you become a casualty. We must learn and maintain a battle. And you must be careful of your associations. Evil associations will corrupt your good habits. Proverbs 23. In verse 6, would you read it with me? Do not eat the bread of a miser. A miser is one who has an evil eye. Usually a manipulator, a user, a taker. Nor desire his what? Delicacies. Now, when it says do not eat the bread, what it means is you're agreeing with them. Don't hang with them. That means you're fellowshipping with them. If you're breaking bread with a miser, you're fellowshipping with them, aren't you? For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says with you, but his heart is what? Not with you, because he wants in this. A miser will have a form of godliness, but actually the miser begins to manipulate. The miser begins to use the miser. For as a man thinks, so he is. So if you're hanging around with evil company, you know what's going to happen? You're going to become like them. Is everybody okay? Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In fact, you know that word miser? You know what else is in there? Misery. You know what else is in the word miser? Miserable. Think about it. When a person is associated with a miser, there's always misery and they're always miserable. 1 Corinthians 5. Reality of war. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. I wrote to you in my epistle not to what? Keep company with what? Sexual immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexual immoral people of this world, or with the covetousness, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. He was talking about who? Believers. Are you listening? He's talking about believers. Remember, this is a book, a letter that is written to the church in Corinth. He's talking about believers that have backslidden, believers that have come underneath the goddess of Diana, what they called. And they were falling into false doctrine and beginning to do sexual things not pleasing to God. And verse 11. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a what? A brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reveler or a drunken or a what? Extortioner. Not even to eat with such a person. Why? Because you will eat of his delicacies. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. In other words, outside of the body of Christ, let God take care of them. But inside of the body of Christ, we need to. Therefore, put away from yourselves the what? Evil person. So what's the Lord saying? Do not associate with them. If somebody's not walking right, don't associate with them. Has everybody got this? Why? Because you're associating with what? Evil. Evil. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now the Bible says rescue someone who has been what? Out of order, sinning. You know, what you do is you share with them, right? But that doesn't mean that you have fellowship with them. It says, keep no company with evil. Even though he may be a brother who is doing wrong, that brother has a choice, doesn't he? That sister has a choice. They must, see, they know Jesus, they know that they've chose the wrong thing to do. Believe me, after you've walked with the Lord and you've accepted the truth and the knowledge of the truth, you know what's right and wrong. There is no excuse. And the Bible says that each one of us must work out our what? Our own salvation. Our own salvation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And verse 6. Would you read it with me, please? Verse 6. But we command, everyone say command. Amen. You brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we did not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are what? Busy bodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But in this he says, withdraw from a brother. Now a brother is anybody who is proclaiming to be a believer but is walking disorderly. Has everybody got it? Why? Because you want to be example to that person. You know, so many times people pet evil. And it takes, you got to understand, when there's the presence of evil, it always manipulates the thoughts. And the thoughts that are being manipulated, what they're looking for is agreement for your approval. So what happens is if you begin to fellowship with them, immediately the devil is telling them that you're agreeing with them, you're approving of what they're doing. Does everybody understand that? While that's happening, they're planting corruptible seeds in you, and you don't even realize it. Because the person doesn't know it. That person's already in deception. So while that person's in deception, justifying, reasoning, blaming everyone else or whatever it may be, blaming the church, blaming the fellowship, blaming the pastor, you know how it is, blaming whatever it is, that person now is planting corruptible seeds in the person that's fellowshipping with them that's not supposed to be. That's why the person should be rebuked, corrected, and sometimes openly rebuked, so that hopefully he'll come to his senses. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Reality of war. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Let's read it together. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated from you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will what? He will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue have muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch what? Viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. That's called corruptible seeds. He who eats of their eggs, what? Dies. Why? Because the corruptible seed is out to kill the righteous seed. It's out to destroy it. Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper what? Breaks out. In other words, when you eat these things, now you are giving birth to evil and not even knowing it. You will give birth. Remember, we're supposed to be fertile ground. So the enemy knows that the only way that he can get things into the natural realm is to plant corruptible seed. Didn't he do it to Eve? He planted his seed in her, didn't he? Then she deceived her husband, right? And look at what birthed forth. Everything birthed forth from there. Offsprings of darkness. Until you are born again by the Spirit, then we are an offspring of light. But what the enemy wants to do is still utilize anyone who can birth offsprings of darkness. That's where pagan children are brought forth. Viper's eggs kills a righteous seed. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. So because of this, the reality of war, we must be careful of people, places, and things. We must be careful of evil associations. Titus chapter 1. Start at verse 10. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who pervert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they what? Deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Saying that they know him, but they don't. Go to chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no one despise you. And I want to close at Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. Evil associations. The reality of war. See, when there's not a reality of war with an individual, they fall real easy into evil associations. Acts 20, verse 30. Yeah, start at 29. Is everybody there? For I know this, that after my departure, says Paul, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yet, yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Now, there is a package teaching, and it is called The Real War. And in this package, it's got four teachings in there. You can't fight what you can't see, satanic trinity, spiritual abortion, and association brings impartation. Excellent teachings. I encourage you to get this package so that the reality of war will become real to you. Evil associations will wipe you out if you let it. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Allow this to be protected by the blood of the Lamb and to grow and bear fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.